world. I'm Greg Batten. Stand by. So, is it one of those days? We all have them. I mean, you need a little special encouragement. Who does it now and then? Does it feel like your sources of security have just crumbled all around you? Gideon understood that feeling, didn't he? Odds were against him. He faced the challenge of his life, fighting those mighty battalions of Midian with an army of only 300. Judges chapter 7, verse 12. The Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east were lying there in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number. Wow, that's a big group. As numerous as the sand of the seashore? Can you imagine how Gideon's heart must have sunk upon seeing that awesome view? However, God didn't allow Gideon to remain discouraged long. When he returned to the camp, he heard two men discussing a dream which, being interpreted, was of God giving Midian over to the Israelites. Judges 7:15 says when Gideon heard the account of that dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. Amen. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands." Wouldn't that be something? Gideon's boldness was renewed. You could have that today. That courage is available to you, though all the odds appear stacked against you today. This is because you can know for sure that God is not going to leave you to face your foes alone. Nope, he stands right there. No matter what you face today, God is greater. Trust him, really. He's going to use you in a mighty, wonderful way this day. "Oh, George, you're such a moron," he might have been saying something like that. Joe Biden running for president of the United States. The 77-year-old addressing a virtual concert when he said, "Four more years of George, or a George, or a, we're going to find ourselves in a position where if Trump gets elected, we're going to be a different world." You can say that again, Joe, but not about George. Many speculated that Mr. Biden was thinking of George Bush, who was president once upon a time, wasn't he? Perhaps George H.W., who was in office for 4 years until 1993, and some have pointed out that it appears Mr. Biden was speaking to host George Lopez. There you go, that's probably it, George Lopez. His wife tried to jump in and correct him, but that didn't work. Here's one, better than that. Hillary Clinton, you remember her? She's still fuming about her loss to President Donald Trump in the 2016 election during a recent appearance on Kara Swisher's New York Times opinion podcast. It's called Sway. The former Secretary of State said she was born to be president, and it literally makes her sick to her stomach to think about another Trump win. Okay. So it happened yesterday and last night. What do you think? When the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg heard arguments in the landmark 2015 same-sex marriage case, the Supreme Court justice signaled her intent to legally redefine the institution. Marriage today, she said, is not what it was under the common law tradition, under the civil law tradition. After a millennia of recognizing marriage as the union of a man and a woman, her vote, this woman's vote, was one of five that established a right for same-sex marriage that Chief Justice John Roberts opined was unconnected to the Constitution. As an Orthodox Catholic, the judge who's now filling her seat, the new judge, Amy Coney Barrett, is a strong defender of traditional marriage, but the majority Republican senators who confirmed her by vote 52-48 as Ginsburg's successor last night said their support rests on her philosophy of interpreting the Constitution as it was written according to its original intent and not on her personal beliefs. Yes, indeed, these are interesting times in which we live, aren't they? Well, once again, the lefty loonies have their way, and everybody listens, and you really don't have a chance in any of this. I found out as an 18-year-old news reporter starting my career right here at TV 21 in Fort Wayne. And I thought about it Sunday night in her interview with the President of the United States, Leslie Stahl, the darling Leslie Stahl claimed the charge that the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign has never been verified. What? That's kind of contrary to the Department of Justice, Leslie. They spied on my campaign, Trump said. No, there's no real evidence of that, Stahl retorted. Of course there is, he said. No, said Stahl. It's all over the place, Leslie. Sir, Trump says, they spied on my campaign and they got caught. Margot Cleveland, senior contributor to The Federalist, said it was flabbergasting. That's the word, flabbergasting, that Leslie Stahl didn't know that the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, verified that the Obama-Biden administration obtained warrants to surveil the Trump campaign through the bogus Democrat-funded Steele dossier. And it's beyond inexcusable, my friend, that Leslie Stahl did not conduct even a cursory investigation into that question after last week's TV interview. If she did, then, and this is probably what happened, she buried the truth, just like all the lefties do. A question before the story? What in the world would you do? Travis McGee said he opened his door Friday night in Spokane, Washington, found a stranger there, 36-year-old Randall Davis, asking him for a cigarette. Moments later, McGee was in a battle for his life. Somehow he got on top of me, just pounded on me for 10 minutes. The side of my face, he had me in some kind of a hold where my chin was pressed against my neck. I could barely get any air. Turns out Davis is a convicted felon with a history of assault. But all McGee likely was considering at the time was how to stay alive, according to the Spokane Police Department. They say a faithful dog, mutt, did the trick. Gave his owner a spark of mental clarity, so to speak. When my dog came up and bit my leg, it just woke me up, McGee said. I remember I had that knife in my pocket. I got my knees underneath me and started to try to worm my way out of this grip that he had me in. It was a last-ditch effort. I knew I was going to die. McGee was still pinned to the floor, but somehow he managed to slice the attacker's arm, stomach, and neck. Believe it or not, the beaten-down victim who may have died in the assailant's grip. Somehow, the man, beaten up, got real tough real fast. I held the knife to him. I said, I will cut your head off, dude, if you even start to move. End of story. You might ask, how do things happen like this? A promising 16-year-old equestrian from Wales, who had the world at her feet, hanged herself near her stable after a minor spat with mom about riding too fast on her pony. Brody Morgan, who was also upset by the deaths of her grandpa and a close friend, took her life after her mother, Emma Webb, told her to slow down in the saddle, honey. Brody was her usual happy self when I told her she was galloping a bit too fast. I said she wouldn't go to a show at the weekend if she didn't slow down a bit. Wow, you just never know. Let's take a break. When I come back, you're a Christian and you're voting for who? Right after this important message. Who said that? It cheers us up to think of heaven today. Because all that we desire awaits us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, isn't that good? Have you ever wondered what heaven's going to be like? Of course you have. John Newton said, if I ever reach heaven, I expect to find three wonders there. First, to meet some I had not thought to see there. Second, to miss some I had expected to see there. And third, the greatest wonder of all, to find myself there. The Bible tells us that heaven is a very definite place. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that great? I'm excited about that, aren't you? Do you know if you're going to be in heaven today? Do you know how to get to heaven today? It's not something you can work on to make happen. You can't earn your way there. Only one way to heaven. Accept Jesus Christ as Savior for what he did at the cross. The crucifixion is God's way of making it possible for every single person who believes in Jesus Christ to spend eternity in heaven. The Bible tells us that once you are saved by the grace of God, you become a citizen of heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life according to Revelation 21:27. As His child, God wants you to have a personal relationship with Him now and forever. And here's a challenge. As you anticipate with great joy your eternal future in heaven, hunger and thirst today to know God more than ever. I wonder if you would agree with this. Americans, you're in the midst of what is undoubtedly the most consequential election since the Civil War in the United States of America. It's just hard to imagine a greater contrast between the two choices. Evangelist Franklin Graham puts it this way, two vastly different directions for the future of this country will affect not just today's Americans, but, and this is really a key, talked to so many people about this recently, our children and our grandchildren. What's going to happen to them? Ironically, though, one of these possible futures is clearly pro-life and pro-freedom and everything America is about. The other is clearly anti-life and anti-freedom, and large numbers of professing Christians intend to either vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, or even more inexplicably, they're not going to vote at all, like the last election, where only 25% of Christians voted. What? Last week, popular evangelist Pastor John Piper made his case for Christians not voting for either Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Piper makes clear from the get-go that Biden's far-left policies are abhorrent to Christians, acknowledging that they are geared toward what Piper describes as baby-killing, sex-switching, freedom-limiting, socialist outreachers. What do you think? But then what about Trump, whose policies for the past 4 years have proven to be overwhelmingly consistent with and supportive of evangelical Christian sensibilities and concerns? Trump is, in fact, widely regarded as the most pro-life president in your lifetime. Likewise, as president, he has been the best friend of Israel in an entire generation, courageously recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving the U.S. embassy there, something many previous presidents of both parties promised but failed to do. And Trump has consistently championed religious freedom and freedom of speech, both under brutal attack by the radical left, which, truth be told, is essentially hostile and anti-Christian. So, what's the problem? Most will probably agree with this. It's the personal failings of the President of the United States, specifically that he is boastful and he's unrepentant about that. He can be vulgar, divisive, and just causes a lot of trouble for everyone, and then his past sexual immorality. So, some pastors, even like Piper here, not going to vote at all. Doesn't this guy realize that we're voting for a president? We're not choosing a pastor. And you're not only choosing just one leader and his policy agenda, but a multitude of leaders and policies from every area of life and a lot of good people, including the Vice President of the United States, who is a Christian. Therefore, the whole future for the country is what you're voting on. Franklin Graham said that, by the way. Most prominently, you're choosing a vice president who could become president. It's happened 14 times. You're choosing a cabinet and department heads, and you're choosing federal judges. Remember Amy Coney Barrett, including the Supreme Court here, with lifetime tenure, who will decide issues of stupendous importance for every American, for every Christian. You're choosing thousands of other people, about 4,000 federal government appointees in all, who will profoundly shape the nation in which your children and grandchildren will live for a long, long time, if the Lord tarries. My, oh my, my friend, pray about this one. And what about that guy out in California? Oh, Dr. John MacArthur. Any real, true believer will vote for Trump over Biden. And so, really think about this character flaw thing. My Christian friend, I'll say again, you're choosing a leader of the country and thousands of other people with your vote November the 3rd. Make sure it's the right one. So, did you have one of those blue bad Mondays? Couldn't be as bad as this. You didn't lose $35 billion yesterday, did you? That's how much SAP, what a SAP, SAP's market value felt yesterday. Who is SAP? Europe's biggest tech company by sales. SAP is a German software vendor that rose to prominence in the 70s and 80s selling enterprise resource planning software, which organizes business processes and HR programs, customer relations, all of that stuff. Wow. Lost $35 billion yesterday. On the other hand, what about the Ant Group? Yeah, A-N-T Group. That's a Chinese fintech giant. It's set to raise $35 billion in its IPO, according to a new pricing term just released yesterday. That would make it the largest public offering anywhere in history. One side of the coin or the other here? And finally, who said and did that? Let's start with a bunch of women. Got their Keep Abortion Legal signs up. No sadder sight than a bunch of women marching for the right to kill their own children. What kind of a moron votes for someone who promises to raise your taxes? And can you identify? If at first you don't succeed, why don't you try doing it the way Mom told you to do it in the beginning? Hey, let's celebrate Halloween. Where's my Bible? Life 101 right after this. Hello, world. Comes your way each day at this time, Monday through Friday. Thanks to this Christian radio station. Thanks to the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. What a blessing. Thank you for your time. I mean that sincerely. Tell others about the broadcast. Continue to support us and join us every day at this time. Do you celebrate Halloween? You know, dollar-wise, it is now the biggest day of the year. So much. I was going to church yesterday, and I could not believe home after home, whether in the rich section of town or the poor section of town, there's just junk, ghosts, and goblins, and scary things hanging all. What in the world has happened to us, for crying out loud? Christians going the way of pagans? Sure we are. Come on, be real. Christians should not have anything to do with Halloween. You know, Scripture shows us that people go through areas of spiritual renewal and periods of spiritual decline. It's the way it, like waves, and that's always been the case, always will be the case. You're up, you're down, you're in between. And we might think of these times, again, like a mountaintop or a valley. The key to all of this, I have discovered, is, and it's easy to do, not get too high, and certainly not go down into the pit either, my friend. During a renewal, a revival, an awakening, there will not only be a great reviving of Christians, but it will have a large impact on the problems of society. Billy Sunday, he was a great preacher here in America. He would go to Philadelphia, other cities, the bars through the whole city would close down when he was speaking during his meeting. Sure they would. The mayor sometimes would come out. New York, same thing. What has happened? I'll tell you, my friend, when Christianity enters in, problems of society fade. The renewal could last for many years, as it did in the Second Great Awakening here in America, or it could be rather brief, as it was in the Third Awakening in the late 1850s. I got to tell you, when the winds of renewal have passed, the church may enter a period of lethargy, possibly for many, many years, unfortunately. Such cycles have already been repeated many times during the 2,000 years of church history. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not that it can't sustain the higher life for the Christians. Rather, now get this, because this is important. The Spirit allows times of decline to cause His people to do two things. Pray for growth and for power. You know, in the Old Testament, renewal came to the Israelites under King Jehoash in 2 Kings 11 and 12, King Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, King Asa in 2 Chronicles 15, and especially under King Josiah. That's the guy that became king at 8 years of age, still unbelievable to me, and I love to preach that from 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23.
Awakening also came under the time of Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, during the return there, the exile in Babylon. Ezra chapter 5 and 6. And of course, under Nehemiah, what preacher hasn't preached on this event from the Word of God? In Nehemiah 8, 9, and 13, he was the governor of Judea, and his task, rebuild Jerusalem. In New Testament times, awakening came upon God's people at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And this pouring out of the Spirit set a pattern that we see in a later awakening. Again, in Acts 4, 23 through 37, we read of the renewal that prepared the infant church for the fierce persecutions that were coming. The Bible says there in Acts 4, starting at verse 23, and on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. It's important that you and I repeat what we have heard like this. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Already decided. God's in charge. Don't forget that. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. We all need that. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind, so important in the church today. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. This is so interesting to me. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that all there was, no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses did what? Sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. I have been blessed to experience brand new cars being given away by people. Not rich people. God just told them to give the vehicle to someone else. That has always amazed me. In one case, a home just given away. Joseph, verse 36, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. What a great message, my friend. Well, they say it happened at the VA hospital. Some old guys shooting the breeze, a trio there. They ran out of tales on their own heroic exploits, and they started bragging about their ancestors. One said, my great-grandfather at age 13 was a drummer boy at Shiloh. Mine, another boasted, went down with Custer at the Battle of Little Bighorn. I'm the only soldier in my family, confessed the third. But my great-grandfather, living today, would be one of the most famous people in all the world. What'd he do, his buddies ask? Oh, not much, but he'd be 165. 165 years old. Yeah, he'd be a pretty big deal in the world today, wouldn't he? Sometimes you gotta grab for straws there.
That's it. That was say for another day. News, information, and comment. Continue to pray, my friend, about all the stuff going on in the world today, and there is a bunch of it, huh? Prayer this Sunday, National Day of Prayer. Election coming up next Tuesday. Lots to be praying about. Thank you so much for listening, for telling others about the broadcast. It's so great to have you here. Thank you again for your time. I'm Greg Patton. God bless. Have a great Tuesday.